Hi, everybody. I'm Judy, a compulsive overeater. Wow, it is such an honor to be here. And I know I'm your out-of-town speaker. It's kind of traditional to have an out-of-town speaker, so they had to go all the way to Roseville to get me. But I am so glad to be here. Special shout-out to the three people who are newer at our meeting. I say welcome to Overeaters Anonymous. Welcome home.
Yes.
And on your gratitude list, everybody, is the fact that early on in OA, there was a group forming in Texas. There was a wonderful gentleman there that, Roseanne, they got a hold of each other and they combined their groups. And they kept the name of Overeaters Anonymous because his group was Gluttons Anonymous. So we are definitely grateful for that, aren't we? Well, just to qualify, I crawled through these doors on a Tuesday morning, August 23rd of 1979, just a month before my 31st birthday. I'll save you the math. I've been in OA 44 plus years, and I'm 75 years old. I have been abstinent from mainlining sugar since 1984. Notice there's a five-year gap there. I'll talk about how long it took me, 5 years, to really, truly give up the sugar. I'll talk about that. Now, I have two home meetings, the Saturday 9 a.m. meeting of the Rockland-Roseville Fellowship and in Region 2, and my Tuesday 7:30 a.m. meeting in Neenah, Wisconsin, in Region 5. And they are both very, very dear to me. Now, the lens I thought that we would use for today would be, this is an emotional, physical, and spiritual disease, and we have a physical, spiritual, and emotional recovery. So I kind of like to look at, you know, what those were like before and what it's like, been like now. That's going to be my lens. Now, I'm going to send around the pictures. And so here's the before pictures, and please notice how I am rocking the red polyester pants. I will talk about them in a minute. After pictures are here, and then a little more current of the whole family here, but I call this the social media post picture, you know, that everybody posts, and it makes it look like everybody's perfect and having, you know, no problems in their life. Wrong. So, let's just pass it around. Okay, there you go. Getting back here. So, before OA, oh, the red polyester pants. My daughter in the picture on her daddy's shoulders is 14 months old, and I'm wearing maternity pants still. I have two pairs, red and blue polyester, and I am still wearing them over a year after I gave birth to my daughter. I think we all know how that feels. Right? Yeah. I can go back to second grade and being 7 years old when my first kind of compulsive thoughts were. I was at Brownie Scouts, and we were sitting around a table, and they were passing out something for lunch, not dessert, lunch. And as they passed that platter around, little seven-year-old Judy wanted two. I had not even eaten the first one. Does that describe an addiction? Most people would not even get that. You're my homies. I know you understand what that was like. So at seven, I was a little second grade girl. I knew I was different. And it had to do with food. I thought I had the only original thing, because everything I'm saying tonight is not original. I've heard it from you. I've heard it from meetings. I've read, you know, from the big book, from wherever. I have nothing original to say, except I had this. I talked about my addiction to sugar as sliver, slice, slab, slob, because that's how I ate. I never intended to eat the whole thing. I never intended to eat so much. I would just have a little bit, just that sliver. Then later, OA comes out with a book, and somebody else had the same thing they put in there. See, so I have nothing original to say today. Okay. I just knew that my head was saying stop, but I had been triggering the physical cravings. You know, we have this emotional, we have the physical cravings, And I just kept triggering them by eating massive amounts of sugar and by eating huge quantities. Now, I have to tell you, when I was in college, drugs were just coming out. And I was Judge Judy. Because I literally said about people using drugs, and I was at Humboldt State, believe me. We were in. But I said, they're just not dealing with their lives. They're using that to deal with their problems.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. And I'm eating the whole gallon. Like, I could be a judge, right? So I'm also a quantity addict, and I still have to watch that today. I have the disease of more. When I was a newlywed, I would make this recipe, and it said it served six. And we ate the whole thing. Now, you realize my husband was a college football player at the time. And I was eating right alongside him. That quantities, that more. And what is a serving? What is being full also, right? I mean, a serving was the whole bag, the whole carton, the whole package, all of it. So also, I was a real diet failure. That popular weight loss program, in the day, they said you had to eat liver. So I could not go. I could not go there because I was not going to eat liver. I mean, what a great excuse that was. And so I was just a diet failure. My husband and I, one time we went on a diet together, and he lost 10 pounds and I gained 5. Does anybody connect, right? And I did, I was not a yo-yo dieter. I even envy those because they at least go down. No, I yo'd. I did. And the thing was, I did not enjoy those binges. I did not enjoy any of that. I think some people think, oh, they're just enjoying food too much. That is not enjoyable, to be, you know, have food clawing at my throat and not being able to stop. I was ashamed to be walking down the street. So that leads me to where I was emotionally. I have maybe a perhaps different story. I was beloved as a child, absolutely adored. My parents were involved in everything. I was the one that called myself names. You know, some kids are bullied. I bullied myself. And I bullied myself until I came into this program. And guess what I also abstained from? Negative self-talk. Because that is not a spiritual path, you know. And so I don't call my name self names anymore. There's a picture of me in fifth grade. We had just moved. I was a new kid in school. I was chubby. I felt so alone and so different. But guess what? There was a smile slapped on my face. And you're going to see a trend here because that's what, you know, I did to be okay. So you didn't know how I felt inside. From the time I was a kid to an adult till I came into OA, I wanted to be liked. That was how I was going to, you know, succeed, to have you like me. And what did you need me to do? Want me in charge of that? Yes, I'll run it for you. Because I wanted them to like me. Now, I still kind of get in charge of a few things, but it's because I want to be of service, not service to an ego that is so broken. Now, you talk about, I love the big book. When I came in, we had the big book and the AA 12 and 12 and a few pamphlets. Page 61, it talks about the actor, right? That is, you know, small potatoes. I wanted to be the director, especially as an adult. I wanted to be in control. I wanted to be in charge. I wanted you to do everything I wanted. And I was the worst kind of perfectionist. Because I couldn't do everything right. That's a really hard place to be, you know. And because you wouldn't do things my way, because I'm right, don't you know? But all this was in my head because I was smiling. And in private, I was shoving that food down to push down those emotions. What stopped that cycle of perfectionism, procrastination, and paralysis for me was working the 12 steps. You know, that made a difference because we have to keep looking at those things that are bothering us every day. And for me, that was a vicious cycle. And there's kind of a saying in our Saturday morning Rosa Rockland meeting that good is the new perfect. Good enough. It's good enough. You know, it just lets the weight off, right? Where was I spiritually before OA? Well, I had a social relationship with God. I went to church as a kid, and I memorized verses, and there was vacation Bible school down at somebody's house on the cul-de-sac one summer, and I got all those gold stars because little smarty pants Judy was memorizing verses. But I didn't have any relationship with God, even as an adult. In fact, we took our kids to church because that was the right thing to do, but all I cared about is they behaved themselves, because what would people think of me if they didn't, right? And believe me, they were not perfect either. So I did not hear the word God in that room in Modesto, California for 3 weeks. And it's the same readings, and we even finished the meeting with the Lord's Prayer. Didn't hear it because I've been out of here. Because I would have thought you were a cult, that I had to do it a certain way. So when I came in, I was so hopeless. And I was alone. I was alone in that. No matter how many people were around me, a loving husband, two little cute kids, it wasn't enough. Because I didn't care for myself. I was ashamed to be walking this earth. So what happened? First meeting. First of all, the person speaking told some really kind of sad and terrifying things that had happened in her family. And rather than being shocked, like, what? What's going on here? I was, wow, this must be a very safe place to talk about stuff like that. And that hooked me right there. And then her topic was what helps you with your OA program. And one of the people mentioned sponsorship. That meeting was over. I turned to the person next to me and I asked her to be my sponsor. And she said, I'm sorry, I'm full. Now, guess what? We don't say, I'm sorry, I'm full. I say, let me help you find a sponsor if I'm full. I don't want somebody to walk out that door without somebody to just hold their hand and get them started. And there's a wonderful temporary sponsor PDF on OA.org that goes with a newcomer's pamphlet. You can take somebody through the first 12 days. It's wonderful. My sponsor said, I'm not just a... I turned to the other person, okay? And she said, yes. And she said, but I'm not just a food sponsor. I would want you to work the steps too. And I said, yes. And I had no idea what she was talking about. Right? You know, and she said, call me at 6 a.m. and I'm going to have questions for you. We'll work on reporting on your food plan. And by that time, there was no gray sheet in OA. They ran out of the gray copy paper, I guess. And so we had the blue sheet. She got me going, and I will never be grateful enough for that person in Modesto, California. Because she took me through the steps. Because otherwise, we have a shadow of the program. Yes, I had to deal with the food. And believe me, she had me writing down, committing what I was going to eat, all of that. And she got me into the tools, the reading, the writing, the meetings, the phone calls at 6 a.m., right? All of that, getting me into the tools, being sponsored. And to me, the tools are prevention. In OA, they keep me in the steps, they keep me in the meetings, connecting. All of that is like prevention. And when those start slipping, not going to as many meetings, can't do my, you know, four readings I do every morning, saying my prayer. When I'm too busy for that, it starts getting slippy. And then sometimes the food is the last thing to show up, but it was getting, so it's prevention. And if I'm struggling, it's intervention to get those tools going again, to start reading and writing and meetings and sharing and being of service and all that good stuff that keeps us connected. Because remember, I was so alone. And I can go alone and be back in my disease, too. I don't want to do that. Physically, what happened? I know this is going to hook you. I lost 17 pounds the first month. Okay, I was over 200 pounds. I quit weighing it. 200 pounds. But what that shows is the huge quantities I was eating. So when I started eating a very modest amount, but, you know, healthy, the weight, and I was hooked. So there's something to be said for getting that hook. Now, sugar, it took me 5 years. Okay? Now, during that first 5 years, 99.9% of the time, I was not eating sugar. But that left 0.01 as a possibility. So every time I saw it, every time it was passed out at work, every time I went to a party, you name it, it's there. And I would have to decide every 100% of the time I had to decide whether to eat it or not. And so just like 99.9%, I said, no, thank you. But it kept the mental obsession that I had to keep deciding. And so after 5 years, I quit deciding. One day at a time, it's not a decision today. It's still one day at a time, right? I mean, we met my husband's Irish cousin in Ireland, and she's shoving this cake around, and I said, no, thank you. And she said, oh, no, you know, no, thank you, you know. And finally, she just kept pushing. I said, well, and she's kind of rolling her eyes. And I am offending my husband's Irish cousin. And I said, and I actually told a lie. I said, you know, my mother is diabetic, and I am very careful about eating foods with sugar. The truth is, my mother was diabetic, but it had absolutely nothing with me not triggering. Why would I want to trigger those physical cravings again? Why go back? I don't want to ever forget how that felt to be all by myself doing that. So today, what do I do with the food? Well, I report it to my sponsor. When doing my nightly 10th step, and I tell her what I ate, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Do I want to do that? Absolutely not. Do you want to tell anybody what you're eating? No. It's the best step 3, turning our life and will of the care of God I have ever seen, is to tell somebody what I have eaten or plan to eat. Either way. I can't tell you how many times. You know, there's been times where the weight came back a little bit and I had to get right back down to basics. And I swear my higher power, who I call God, but it's my higher power, I say to my mind, I'm looking at the plate and I'm like, is this all I get? And my higher power works for that shoe company whose motto is just do it. Because the message is say thank you and eat it, Judy. Right? So emotionally what happened, I was surprised how out of control my tightly controlled life was, right? When you're just holding on to it. And that serenity, I got hooked on that right away, too. I started feeling really good about myself about 1 week in. You know, before I was covered up with a big heavy coat everywhere I went, didn't matter what season. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at catalogs with lingerie. I am like, whoop! And it's because, you know what I had? I had hope. I had hope for the first time. And that's what I can share with you today. This program gives us hope. So I'm still powerless over food. My life is still unmanageable. I react differently to sugar than the normal person, just like an alcoholic does to alcohol. They still drink. I still eat. And guess what? Some people will say, oh, it's easier for them. Well, you know, they have to make a decision to drink water or juice or coffee or soda pop. And I have to make the decision what to eat. And I think everybody in this room knows that I do not have any problems with kale. Right? Because people in OA, when they first come in, but what am I going to eat? Well, like healthy foods, you know, certain times of the day in moderate portions. And if I needed to weigh and measure my food at the beginning, because remember, I'm the one who had no idea about portions. And even today, I eyeball it. I check the calories. I'll check the menu at a restaurant before I go there. And, you know, I like the ones that tell you, you know, the calories and stuff like that. I still work at it just today. Oh, I got to tell you a little just for today story. I think it was back in 2006 when we went to the OA birthday party in LA to promote our Region 2 convention. And so I'm at the table with some of our convention literature down in Los Angeles. And along comes the gentleman from Texas, AG, I think it is, who, you know, together with Roseanne founded OA. And we chatted, and he said, well, how long have you been? And I think it was 26 years at the time. And I said, and I'm going to be here the rest of my life. And that man took my hand, leaned over the table, and said, honey, let's just do today. Because that's how I could abstain to start with from sugar. So just for today, right? Now, the insanity wasn't just with food. So part of my emotional recovery has to do with control issues. I hope you're nodding your head. Perfectionism, self-centered, self-righteous, self-satisfied, judgment. I can be out walking in God's sun coming down on me and notice the weeds in the neighbor's yard. Judge Judy, you know, and that is not a spiritual place. So much of what I have had to do is not on the outside, it's this inside work to be aligned with the will of my higher power. Otherwise, I'm just crazy making, right? Yeah. So my God is mine. And there was a movie, which I will not mention, it's an outside issue. But God in that movie was sitting on a park bench in a golf sweater. And that's my higher power, just somebody I can talk to, loving, non-judgmental, but also powerful. And we had a speaker at an OA event years ago, so I think mid-80s. She came up from Fresno, and she said, God keeps a blowtorch a half inch off her ass. And I'm like, and I'm like, whoa. But think about it. Every time you sit down a little bit on your program, ouch, it doesn't feel good. Foods get messy, it doesn't feel good. Stop making phone calls, it doesn't feel good. Talk up gossiping about somebody, it does, ouch! So I love that image, okay? And you know, this is such a practical program. To me, the go-to with any problem is the Serenity Prayer. And the first word is God. And my sponsor years ago said, Judy, it is not spelled J-U-D-Y. Okay? This power bigger than you, as long as, however you want to define it, is just not you. So it starts with that. Who is going to grant me? It's a gift. And that acceptance. Now, I have to tell you, we had an OA event some time ago. And one of my sponsees was sitting in there at the lobby at the cancer center where we used to go. And she said, how are you doing, Judy? And I said, I'm spitting nails. My son, Kevin, is back from college. He's living with us. He's a slob. He's never. And she listened, and she said, well, what's your part? Excuse me? I said, I don't have a part. Well, she said, pushy. What's your part, Judy? And I said, I don't know. She says, want me to tell you? I said, yes. And she said, unrealistic expectations. You're expecting Kevin to not be Kevin. Ah. And that is very powerful for me, not to have those unrealistic expectations. So, practical program. When I'm in trouble, I breathe God in. And I fill every cell in my body with love and caring and all of it. And when I breathe out fear and anger and resentments, and I name the people. This day, it was my daughter, Shannon. So I want you to breathe with me. We're going to breathe in deep, breathe your higher power in, and then as you breathe out in your mind, name what you're letting go. Here we go. And I always feel better. I always, and there have been times where it's taken a few of those. Now, some of you know that December 28th is my favorite date in for today. So I borrowed it from our newcomer. We just gave it to her, and I said, can I use that? December 28th has helped me, I can't tell you, and I call it now December 28thing somebody. But it is this. I love you. I bless you. I release you to your own indwelling presence of God. Author unknown. Nah, it's God saying that. I know. It is nothing less than a complete turnabout that this program brings into being. It gives me the amazing ability to release the people I love, to detach myself from their pain and turmoil and suffering, and turn them over in love to that same power within that is directing me. This is an act of release performed daily in a moment of quiet prayer. It exerts incredible influence on those I would help. I say and do only what is necessary to attend to my everyday responsibilities, showing the love I feel and radiating the calmness and peace that come from giving up control for today. I turn over responsibility for the lives of others to the same higher power within each of them that manages my own life. Yay, God. And so 2.5 years ago, my granddaughter Lainey was born without hearing. And I didn't know it, but they now test their hearing in the delivery room. And a week later, she wasn't hearing, and weeks and weeks. And they said, we cannot operate on her ears until she's 9 months old. Now, for that 9 months, I said December 28th with Lainey's name and blessed her. The week she was 9 months old, they operated, and she hears perfectly. Wow. And she's just this active 2.5-year-old. But even if she hadn't been, I mean, I was ready to learn sign language and just, you know, we were going to just bless this baby. And so, but I could have eaten for 9 months, right? I could have, I mean, it's, you would have understood, right? No, you wouldn't. Other people might have, but what's the point? It just makes it worse. It does not help. It gives me another problem because then I'm ashamed again and alone again and secretive again. I don't want to be there, right? So I'm still imperfect. I have to tell you, I do adapt that. There is one person in our family I quite honestly cannot say I love. I really can't. So what I say, her name, and I say, I bless you. I release you to your own indwelling presence of God. I have to be honest, you know. And I do love that she is a wonderful mother to my grandchildren. She is a wonderful mother. So, they say practice these in all our affairs. Well, it's a practical program, and we celebrated 10 years that first year, and we're coming up on 54, and believe me, there is no harder place than practicing it in your own family, in your house, with your relatives, with your sisters and brothers and all of that. And I will tell you that God is in the truck every time my husband drives. And what God is telling me is, keep your mouth shut, Judy. Keep your mouth shut, Judy. And I'm being very dramatic in my head going, if this is the last thing I do, I've had a great life, God. Right? The fact that he retired and then showed me a new way to put the silverware in the dishwasher. Is that worth drawing a line in the sand on? No. Accept the things you cannot change. And so, what are the gifts of the program? I've had a healthy body for a really long time. And I will tell you, until 2 years ago, I didn't take any prescription medicine on a regular basis. And now I take four. Okay? The body is, insides are showing some age. Ah, deep, abiding joy. And I know we get to feel those bad feelings, too, when we put the food down. But we get the joy. And that is little Lainey's middle name, too. Lainey Joy. Yeah. Serenity when it all hits the fan. And it does, and it will. Right? All of it. Loving relationships with family and friends. People in this room that I met at meetings. I'm looking at you. At intergroup. Mm-hmm. At retreats. Don't miss it. At conventions, at business conferences, I treasure everybody in my life. It gave me confidence in my work. I became a published author. This reliance on a power greater than myself, and that's a big job for Smarty Pants Judy, who only got kudos for being smart and getting good grades. I learned to be teachable here. So, emotional, spiritual, and physical recovery from working the 12 steps. As I said, I've said nothing original. I thank you for teaching me and being part of my family. And my higher power and I, thank you.